You are listening to the Stetson Students Podcast, where we post all of the series and messages from our student ministry. We are a ministry connected to Stetson Baptist Church, where we are for DeLand and for Jesus. If you would like to learn anything more about our ministries, please check out our social medias or go to StetsonBaptistChurch.org. I want to ask you a question. I want to know, what is your favorite part of Christmas? If you could choose any part of Christmas, what would you say your favorite part of Christmas is? Yeah, Grady. Jesus, what a great answer. What a great answer. Opening presents. Opening, that's what you said. Opening and giving presents. Malachi and Lily. Yeah. That one part, that was the answer. Lily. Lily says, watching my friends give open what I give them. And also God. Also God. Good. Sophia? Waking your parents up early. That's the one time you wake up before your parents, right? Does anybody struggle going to bed on Christmas Eve? Is that just me? Is that just me? So, all right. Everybody can, you can put your hands down. So I think, all right, calm down real quick. I promise we'll be quick. The quicker you calm down, the quicker we get to get through this and get back to winning a gift card and then getting out of Heya. I think some of you said it. You know, we have some good, fun parts of Christmas. Maybe it's getting gifts, giving gifts, friends, family, waking up before your parents so you can wake them up for the first time in your life. But we've probably heard some of these statements like, Jesus is the reason for the season, or Jesus is the greatest gift we've ever had, or let's put the Christ back in Christmas. Am I alone, or have you heard those phrases before, right? And the truth is, I think if we knew it, like if we kind of stripped it down to the core, we know that that's true, right? Like, you know that the reason for the season is we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, our Savior, the King, the one who came. And we have probably heard the narrative or the birth story over and over. My family, when I was growing up, we would always read the birth narrative on Christmas before lunch. It would be like, we're getting ready for lunch. And we would do presents in the morning, and then we would do a lunch afterwards. And we would always sit around and read the birth narrative because we wanted to remember that Jesus should be the core of Christmas. And I think sometimes we can hear that and go, yeah, that's cool. Now let's get to the presents. I want to open up my Xbox game, whatnot, right? But before we get into the festivities and enjoy the rest of our night, I do want us to seriously talk about Jesus and him being the reason for the season, if you will, or putting the Christ back in Christmas, to use all those fun little phrases. You don't have a Bible. We're going to be walking through a lot of scripture. We're going to be reading it, lightly talking about it. And then I've got just one or two quick takeaways for us to have. The first thing we're going to see is the birth narrative of Jesus in Luke 2. Okay, Luke 2, starting in verse 1, going through verse 7. I'm going to quickly read it, and then we're going to talk about it and move on to another chapter. Okay, it says this. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration under this ruler, and all went to be registered, each to their own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, and the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was a child. So there's this moment, the leaders, the officials were saying, you needed to go back to your hometown where you were born. And there needs to be basically an account for all the people, so we know how many people are in and under our leadership and rulership. And so Joseph and Mary, the parents of Jesus, go to Bethlehem, a little town. And he goes, and it says Mary was with child. And it says, while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And so she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Probably heard this before. Even if you're not a churchgoer, or maybe you're not a Christian or not a follower of Jesus, you've probably heard of the story of Jesus being born, right? Born of the Virgin Mary, happened in a manger around smelly animals because there was no room for them in the inn. And whether you would really kind of think about it a lot, you would probably say this is not the way that you would suspect the Savior of the world's story to start. Can we agree on that? Even if you maybe aren't a follower of Jesus, that you wouldn't expect the Savior of the world to come in the way that it says that he came. I love even the way that Matthew talks about the birth of Jesus before the birth of Jesus. It says this, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came..." That means engaged, by the way. I think some of you are like, what does it mean to be betrothed? It's a weird word. It means engaged. They got engaged, right? They're about to be married. It says, "Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly." I mean, can y'all imagine, like, I know that y'all are not at that age and don't be at that age right now, but like, there is, they're about to get married. And then, can we stop with the rapping right now? That'd be great. Thank you. There'll be time, I promise. So they're about to be married. And then Mary comes to Joseph and is like, "Hey, by the way, I'm pregnant." Pregos, okay? Don't worry, by the Holy Spirit, so we're good. Can you imagine, like, imagine that being told to you? Like, no, that's not how that works. I know how that happens, and the Holy Spirit don't be doing that, right? And so he decides, but I'm an honorable person, so I'm not going to put you to shame. I'm not going to make this a big deal. I'm not going to go tell everybody, you know, woe is me. Look what my fiance did. She went, now she's pregnant with somebody else's baby. And so he's about to do it quietly. And then it says this, that as he was considering those things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin." Man, think about that. He will save the world. He will save the people. He will save those who follow him from sin. And sin is kind of a Christian word. It's a church word. Really what it means is this idea that we are broken, that there's something missing. It's actually an archery term. I like to describe it that way because that's where it came from. And if you think about an archery, you think about a bullseye, right? And that's what archery is. You're shooting an arrow at a bullseye. And there's a little red thing in the middle. What's that called? The bullseye, right? Yeah. And then there's rungs around it. A sin in archery is to miss the bullseye. It means to miss the perfect score. You can get I think the bullseye is a 50. You can get a 49 or 48 and you still sin because you missed the perfect mark. What sin is in our life, it's missing the perfect mark. It's missing and not doing things the exact way God designed us to do them, to obey him, to follow him. It says, whoever's about to be born, this Jesus, he's come to save me from all that mess up. I mess up every day, and Jesus has come to save all of us from that. But don't forget, how was he born? A lowly manger, a humble way. And then I want to go to the end of the story, a book that many of us usually don't open because it's a little scary, Revelation. Sometimes we hear it and we're like, ooh, Revelation. But listen to how Revelation describes Jesus at the end. This is this in Revelation 19. "And then I saw heaven opened. And behold, a white horse, and the one sitting on it called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judged and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. And he is clothed in the dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword in which to strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords." After reading this, we say, Merry Christmas. That was a joke.
Yeah.
That's a lot. But what we see here is Jesus, the first, the last, King Jesus, righteous Jesus, the glory of God seen in his ownership and rulership over all things, the one true God, Jesus.
Luke 2. And in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world would be registered. And this was the first registration under the ruler. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph, he went up to Galilee and from the town of Nazareth and to Judea and to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and the lineage of David. He registered with Mary. His betrothed was with child. But while they were there, time came for her to give birth. He gave birth to her firstborn. He wrapped him in a swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger because no room for them at the inn. Kind of get two sides of Jesus, right? This ruler, this king, this one who has all power and everything is under his feet. Yep, look at how he comes to you. Look at how he came to me. Look at how he came to the people of Israel. A manger. Then a dirty stable with animals everywhere because there's no room for him at the inn. King Jesus, one who deserves all glory, all majesty, all of our praise, everything we are, came to us in a humble and lowly way. He loves you. He cares for you. As we saw last week, because he wants. So where does this lead us? Why are we talking about this two types and two ways of looking at Jesus, the kingship of Jesus, yet coming in a lowly, caring, and humble way? Because this season, this Christmas, this is what I want us to be thinking about. Jesus came to us. Now let us come to him. Jesus came to us. He humbled himself. He made himself lowly. He made himself approachable. He came for our benefit, not his. Now it is time for us to come to him. In other words, to even make it more personal, Jesus came to you. Now it's time for us, you, come to him. And how cool would it look? Our Christmas wasn't about all the presents. Wasn't about even the satisfaction of giving things. Wasn't about the break from school. Listen, I want you to enjoy time with family, but wasn't at the core spending time with family. And what if this Christmas all about coming back to Jesus? Maybe it's bringing everything you are to Jesus because you've never done that in the first place. And maybe for some of you, it's just bringing this one area of your life to Jesus. So let's ponder this question as we pray and as we get back to, I know as silly as it is, another day. But seriously, this Christmas, what do you need to bring Jesus? Is it your whole self? Is it your heart for the first time? Or maybe it's your mouth, what you say. Maybe it's your phone and what you watch. Maybe it's your friends and who you hang out with, or your priorities and what you put at the top, or your grades and how much you lack studying, or your idol that you continue to push and want and desire, yet spending very, very little time worshiping Jesus. And this Christmas, is as we take this break, and I want you to have something on your heart, because the answer is there's something. There's something that we have yet to bring to Jesus that we still need to. And this Christmas, answer this question and use this break, use this time to bring it to him. Because it's not that he's not ready to take it. always going to be that we're not ready to give it what you need to bring to Jesus.
Now, let me pray for us. Let's have a little bit more fun. We're going to get out of here, all right?
Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great week and that you are a light for Jesus. Grace and peace.